This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Welcome to Life and Faith. This is John Dixon. We're talking about the highly controversial topic of Islam and Christianity, and we're trying to plot a path between that kind of very negative approach you often hear toward Islam and one that simply says Islam and Christianity are the same thing. We want a balanced, generous conversation about the similarities and differences. And I can't think of anyone better to talk to than Richard Schumack, who is a PhD student in the Department of Islamic Studies at Melbourne University. Richard, thanks again for joining us.
Pleasure again.
Last night we talked about God and the differences and similarities in the Christian and Islamic view. Can we talk about humanity now? Give me your take on how the Bible, the Christian faith, thinks of the human being.
Sure. I'm thinking here particularly about the state of being human before God, and even more particularly, what do we need if we're going to be right with God, connect with God, have a relationship with God? What is it that we need for that to work? And the Bible's view is, in fact, Jesus' view is, that the thing most of all that we need is that we need to be, as Jesus puts it, born again. And what he means by that is that by ourselves, we cannot please God. We are broken people, we're angry people, we're jealous people, we're sinful people, however you want to put it. We are people who we can't please God by ourselves, and what we need is we need God's power to come into our lives and to do that. And that's what Jesus means about being born again.
There's a lot of confusion about that. People talk about born-again Christians as if that's the sort of shorthand for weird and wacky. But actually, yeah. Jesus taught that, didn't he, in John's Gospel, chapter 3. People could read it for themselves.
Absolutely. And what he means by that is he will come and put his presence in you and make you alive, make you into a new, alive person.
So is this the same in Islam, or is it slightly different?
No, and this is one of the fundamental differences, I think, between Christianity and Islam. In fact, even a much greater difference than the understanding of God is the understanding of being a human. And in Islam, a human is someone, it's a very optimistic view, actually, of humanity. It says, no, you can do it. You have the capacity to be a good person. And if you are a good person, if you achieve that, then God will reward you.
So you're saying there's no sense that we're actually sinners from birth?
Certainly not that we're sinners from birth. And in fact, in Islam, you're an innocent person until you reach puberty. Mm-hmm. But even after that, you have the capacity to be good. If you want to be good, you can do it.
Okay.
And then the way that you get right with God is doing enough good things, and he will reward that with your entry into paradise.
So does the Quran actually teach that? I mean, I've heard plenty of people say Islam teaches you got to be good to get to paradise or whatever, but is this actually what's in the original text?
Absolutely. In fact, let me read to you. This is from chapter 2 and verse 25, and it says, and give good tidings to those who believe and do righteous deeds, that they will have gardens beneath which rivers flow. So certainly belief is on view, but it's the good deeds as well. You need belief and good deeds, and that is the thing that will gain you entry into paradise.
So does the average Muslim therefore worry about, you know, whether he or she is the good person yet?
Oh, absolutely. And not just worry, they're particularly concerned about whether they have done enough good deeds to warrant God's favour, to warrant God's reward on the last day.
So does God give you any help in this journey toward being a good person?
Well, as we mentioned in the last session, God will give you guidance on what the straight path is, but in the end, you are there by yourself. You stand by yourself. No one will help you. No one will carry your burdens. No one will stand there before God helping you out on that last day.
Does the Quran teach that?
Absolutely. It's in chapter 17, verse 15, and no bearer of burdens will bear the burden of another. And that's referring to you standing before God.
Is that a critique, do you think, of the Christian idea that Jesus bore sins on behalf of others?
I'm not sure whether that verse is a critique, but certainly it's in contrast. And I think the tendency of humanity is to actually think we're in pretty good shape. So I remember once years ago when my eldest kicked my youngest son, and in front of me, I called him over and said, what did you do that for? And his response was, oh, no, I didn't kick him. I touched him gently with my foot because I love him. And I think at the end of the day, that is us. We're quick to think that we're the goodies. We make excuses for the bad. And in Islam, we want to be good and we don't want to do the bad. But Christianity says, well, actually, we're in bad shape because none of us are really goodies. And we need God's help to give us the power to be goodies.
Okay, it's quite a striking difference. I think we should pick this up next time. And, you know, we've talked about the view of God in Islam, the view of humanity. I'd really love to talk to you about how the human gets to know God.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.